Well, good morning, Fairhaven Church. Morning. Great to see all of you here. Thank you for being here. If you are new here in any one of our campuses, you have been greeted. I'd like to greet you as well. Glad you're here. Thank you for being here. My name is David. I'm one of the pastors here on staff. Happy Mother's Day to you moms. We want to honor you today, and I'll have more things to say to you in just a little bit. But I do want to welcome our campus to the south, Springboro, campus to the north, Northmont, Beaver Creek to the east, Classics that's with us, and all of you that are online. I actually want to give a shout out to James and Jean Hodge. Happy Mother's Day to you, Jean. I know that you're going to be online for a variety of reasons. We're glad to have you along the way here. So great to have you here at Centerville. We are in a series, this is week four for us, in a series called Everyday Matters, because when you read the Bible from cover to cover, it's really, really clear that you and I, if you're a follower of Jesus, we should live in the moment, because the moment is all we know about today. We are not designed to live in the past. We are not to be afraid of the future. Everyday matters for us. And so that's why we're studying different aspects of that. Week one, we said your time matters every day. Week two, we said the world matters. Literally, God wants to use you, believe it or not, in the entire world through a group of people called a church. And that's what we want to do here at Fairhaven, is be involved in the church all around the world. And so we're glad to be a part of that. That's actually why we're raising $100,000 so that in Asia, in the Asia Pacific area, we can help leaders there go to other countries that you and I would have a hard time doing with an American passport. So we said that matters. Last week, we looked at work, the workplace, whatever that looks like for you, that the workplace matters every single day. Today, we're going to be talking about relationships. And I waited for this week to talk about relationships in the series because it's Mother's Day. And I'll tell you why in just a second. And so we're glad that you're here. If you have a Bible or a device and you want to join me, we're going to be in Luke chapter 10 today. We're going to look at a story that might be familiar to you, but in the familiarity, I hope you'll set that aside and listen carefully to what God might have to say to us about some principles about relationships in Luke chapter 10. The reason why we're in this series is not only because the Bible's pretty clear that you and I should live in the moment, but it's this way, that we don't waste life all at once. Like, you don't waste your life all at once. It happens day by day in your life, right? So every single day matters, because you don't waste your life all at one time. You do it day by day. That's why we read in Ephesians chapter 5, I want to put it on screen for you in all of our campuses, because this is the verse says, that have really got us thinking about the fact that every day matters. Here's what Ephesians chapter 5 says. Look carefully then how you walk, or how you live your life. Same thing. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time. The time that you have is right now. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. You do have today. That's why the Bible often speaks about counting every moment and today. So use your time well, Paul says, because the days are evil. If you weren't here last week, I told you, Paul's not talking about culture. He's not saying that culture is evil or that the world around us is evil. Well, that may or may not be true. What he's saying here is that there's an enemy of your soul, and the enemy is at the front of your doorstep all day long, and he wants to derail you and get you to do things that you don't want or that God doesn't want for you. That's why every day matters, because the days are evil. And then he says this, therefore, or because of this reality that every day matters, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That's exactly why we're looking at time. Does God have a will in the way you use your time? Turns out he does. Does God care about the world and how you're involved? Turns out he does. Does God care about how you live your life Monday through Saturday, not just Sunday, but Monday through Saturday, whatever work looks like for you? Turns out he does. And so today we're going to look at relationships, because every day matters with our relationships. You know, if I were to ask you, what lasts forever? Did you know that there are only two things that will last forever? Think about these two things for a minute. There's only two things that will last forever and ever and ever. Forever is a long time, right? Here they are. Number one, God's word. God's word will last into eternity. The truth of who God is will always be there. It always has been, it always will be, and it will continue on forever and ever and ever. Here's the second thing, people. People will last forever. You are guaranteed an eternity. The question is, what kind of eternity? And eternity has been guaranteed to us, and so people matter. Therefore, relationships really matter. Whether you're married, single, high school, senior adult, young adult, doesn't matter. All of the relationships that you have matter, because today in your relationships, you can live out those relationships really, really well because you're going to be living them out in eternity. That in eternity, the relationships that we establish here will continue, actually. God's word and people will last forever. And so I think the subject of relationships is really, really important. And moms, you are superheroes at this. Like, you get this better than anybody else. See, moms, you have the ability to detect lies and to stop misbehavior with a simple look. It's superhuman, I promise you. Moms, you have dog-like hearing. You have dog-like smell. You can detect smells from rooms away. It's amazing how that happens. Moms, you are superhuman. I don't know if you know this or not, but in your brain, when you get pregnant, your reticular activating system comes alive. Now, men have it as well, but it's different in women. You can detect sounds or the absence of sounds like nobody else. I've seen that in my own wife, who's been the mother of our four children. Like, in the middle of the night, there's silence, and that makes her nervous. And so she hears that. Or when there's a sound, I don't hear it. Like, I'm sleeping and trying to get some sleep. Come on, guys, help me out here. But moms hear everything. It's unbelievable. Moms, you have an internal GPS. You can find lost toys. You can find lost shoes. You can find homework and blankets that nobody else can seem to find. You have the ability to multitask. You can manage a house, manage a career, manage kids, all while making spaghetti. It's amazing, moms, that you have the supernatural ability to blow, to kiss, or to hug it out to any injury on the planet, and it just gets better. It just gets better. It's incredible. You have the emotional intelligence, moms, of nurses, teachers, counselors, coaches, wardrobe designers, event planners, and security guards all at the same exact time. Moms, you have the strength of 10 men. You can carry children on your hip, a purse on your shoulder, a diaper bag over your neck, a book bag on your back at the same time. It's incredible. Come on, would you give me a big round of applause for all the moms in all of our campuses online? Happy Mother's Day, Mom. It's incredible. So when we think of relationships, moms, you do such a good job. In fact, you teach us what unconditional love really looks like. And because of that, we can understand a little bit more of the unconditional love of God. Luke chapter 10, there's a story in there. Like I said, it's a story that you may have heard before. But in this little story, there are two sisters. So we learn about relationships from these two sisters. But Jesus is also present in the room. And so it's really a story that helps us in terms of the relationships we have with each other, any relationship, that is, and our relationship with God, all in one story. That's why I think Luke chapter 10 is the perfect story to go to when we're thinking about some principles around relationships. As a matter of fact, if you're a note taker, I'm going to give you four principles that emerge out of the story that I think will help every one of us in every relationship. I'm not just talking to married couples. I'm talking to singles. I'm talking to high schoolers. I'm talking to everybody, whatever relationships you have, if you have siblings, if you have friends, if you have a spouse, if you have coworkers, these principles will work in every relationship that we have. Let's read the story and let's see if we can pull these principles out. Here's the story, Luke chapter 10, drop down to verse 38. It says, now as they went on their way, that's Jesus and his disciples, Jesus was doing all kinds of miracles, actually. And it says that Jesus entered a village. The village is Bethany. It's not that far from the city of Jerusalem, actually. And a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Now, the word welcome there means that she had either done that day or an invitation had been set out. It wasn't by accident. Like, Martha would have said, hey, Jesus, why don't you guys stop by? We'd love to host you and the disciples maybe. We don't really know if it was an invitation set ahead of time or if it happened along the way. But we do know it was not accidental. That Martha said, Jesus, I'd love you to come to the house. And a woman named Martha welcomed him, that's Jesus, into her house. And she had a sister. Anybody know what her sister's name is? Mary. It's right there. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teachings. Who wouldn't want to do that? That's why we're here today. Thank you for coming, because I'm hoping that you're here to hear from God. I'm just going to highlight a few things, and hopefully God will speak to you directly in your own relationships to think this through. Verse 40. But Martha, and here comes the relationship, but Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him, that's Jesus, and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve all alone? Like, you should care about this. Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Anybody want to know what the good portion is? It's going to emerge right here in this story. It's absolutely amazing. When we read this story, it's about two sisters and their Savior. And we learn a lot in this little story about some principles that I think will help each one of us when we think about our relationships, because every day matters in all of our relationships. Here's principle number one that we'll learn here, if you might want to jot this down. See, relationships deteriorate when distraction replaces presence. Distractions in a relationship can really, well, it can cause deterioration. Let me say it another way. Busyness can remove connection. In any relationship, in a family, in a marriage, in a friend relationship, busyness can remove the connection that you might have with a friend. Busyness and distraction can deteriorate any kind of relationship. I think you'd agree with me, so think this through a little bit. I mean, is it possible to be physically present in a room and yet be thousands of miles away? It's very possible, isn't it? I mean, Martha was in the same room with Jesus. She was there. Mary was there. And there was very little connection between Martha and Mary as sisters. We know that because we'll see in just a second, there was an expectation that was broken there. But Martha was also there with Jesus, but she was hundreds of miles away. She seemingly wasn't present in the situation. See, Martha was near Jesus, but was disconnected from him. That is so possible for us, isn't it? We can even be here in church and yet be hundreds of miles away, thinking about something else we have to do this week. Or Jesus wants us to be present with him because he wants to be present with us. If you want to turn there, you don't need to turn there today, but if you're in a small group or talking about it, in John chapter 11, we're told that Jesus loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus, actually. So Jesus had a very close relationship with his family. And so it's not really surprising that Jesus stopped by Martha's house there, Mary's house. He had a relationship with them. John, the Gospel of John, the Apostle John, the disciple John, tells us that in John chapter 11. This is one of the hardest things for me. If I'm being honest with you today, if you don't hear this point at all, the one that emerges here as we begin, you can just tune me out, because I'm just talking to me for a minute. As a pastor, this is really, really hard. Distractions happen all the time. I mean, I go through the day and sometimes I get a phone call and I gotta sit next to a family who's really struggling, and they might lose somebody. That happened this weekend, actually. Or I'll get the opportunity to talk to a couple and they just had their first child. I mean, I know so many couples in our church family that are pregnant or just about ready to have a child. It's so exciting. I get phone calls and I get the opportunity to sit with so many people. And as a pastor, one of the things that I struggle with is so many distractions that happen every day that I have to be careful in my own relationships and my own marriage and with my sons and my daughter-in-laws and my grandsons. This is something that I care deeply about. Church, listen carefully. Busyness can often be the enemy of friendships. Busyness can be the enemy of marriages, intimacy, connection. Busyness can destroy things. See, activity for people can quietly replace connection. And we see that right here with Martha, that quietly the busyness of her life was destroying the connection that she was having with her sister and with Jesus, who was right there in the room. Look at verse 40 again. I'll put it on screen for you, but you might want to underline it in your Bibles. It says that Martha was distracted. Distraction is an enemy to relationships. Would it help you if I gave you four warning signs? Like, what does distraction look like in our lives? There's probably many more, but let me give you four warning signs that if you're here today and any of these sound too close for comfort, it might be that you might be distracted because relationships can be deteriorated in our lives when distraction replaces a sense of presence. Let me give you some warning signs. If you're constantly in a hurry, you might be somebody who's struggling with distraction, and your relationships could be in a spot where it could really hurt. See, being constantly in a hurry creates distractions. Would you agree, church? Here's the second. If you're irritated or frustrated, and irritation can come from all kinds of places, right? Your trip home, there's a lot more traffic than you anticipated, somebody cuts you off, your last moments at the office or with somebody wasn't good, and you come home or you're hanging out with your friends and you get there and you're frustrated, you're irritated. Would you agree with me that irritation and frustration can be a huge distraction in relationships? It's a warning sign for us as we think about that today. Here's another one, emotional frustration. That when you're frustrated emotionally, it causes for us distractions so that you can be in a room and yet thousands of miles away because emotional exhaustion is just so hard. Here's one that we don't often think about. If you're struggling with feeling unnoticed, unvalued, or unappreciated in any relationship, that will cause a distraction. You will be in the moment in that relationship, again, whether you're married, single, high school, doesn't matter, but if you feel unappreciated, unvalued, unnoticed, you will feel distracted, and that distraction can really impact a relationship. Conversations all of a sudden become transactional. You're not really talking about things, you're talking about details or information or only events. We learn that right here in the story of Martha. Let me say it this way. Distractions rather than conflict is often the greatest threat to relationships. I get the opportunity, and I love it actually, as a pastor to meet with lots and lots of people. And I'm here to tell you that most of the time it's not because people hate the other person. It's usually because of distraction and drift happens, and all of a sudden, over a period of time, the relationship seems to be so far away, not only with the people that we have in our lives, but with God, where we drift, and all of a sudden, distraction is the very thing that threatens the relationship. That's principle number one. Here's principle number two, right in the story. Relationship struggles when expectations replace communication. How many of you have ever heard the statement that communication is one of the most important things in any relationship? Have you ever heard that before? Certainly, if you're married, you've heard that. Communications is a really, really important thing. But if you're in a relationship, whether it's siblings or friends or, you know, neighbors or whatever it might be, communication is really, really important. And relationships will struggle when there's expectations that are taking place without conversation. Let me give you an example. I've told pretty much every couple that I have the opportunity to do premarital counseling with this story. So I've told it 1,000 times, actually. When Kathy and I were married over 3 decades ago, I remember our first apartment. We were in New York at the time, and the apartment was about 620 square feet. It was tiny, but we loved it. It was home for us. We were excited about being married. We were trying to figure out this new thing about, you know, building our lives together. I was so excited. I still remember. And we had this little kitchen that had a little table in it. That was our dining room, if you will, table. On the eating kitchen, it was a little tiny table. We tried to put 4 chairs around it, but we really couldn't because there wasn't enough space. So we had 2 chairs there, and we would sit there and eat dinner and spend some time together. And in the kitchen, at the end of the counter, was a garbage can. And the garbage can would get full. And it got more full until the point that it was kind of overflowing. Have you ever heard the statement that into a relationship, you bring your family of origin into that relationship? Are you with me so far, church? So as we're sitting there having dinner, I still remember this. I'm sitting there over here at this table, not very big at all, sitting there, and Kathy's sitting right here, and I'm kind of looking at her without saying it. I'm looking at her and going, what is wrong with her? I mean, the garbage can is overflowing. Why doesn't she take that out? I mean, that, like, isn't that her job? I mean, she should be taking the garbage out. Because in my family, my mom took the garbage out. Now, Kathy's sitting over here, and she's thinking, doesn't Bonehead see the garbage can over there? Like, what is wrong with him? Why doesn't he take the garbage out? Because in her family, her dad took the garbage out. Are you with me here, church? So we had expectations that we hadn't talked about, apparently. And so we're sitting there at dinner, and I still remember we were having spaghetti one night, and I took one of the cans that were on the counter, and I threw it in the garbage, and it kind of rolled out to the floor. And I looked at her, and she looked at me, and we kind of laughed, because then we realized, oh, we had a real problem. See, I thought she should do it because my mom, and she thought I should do it because my dad. And guess what? I'm supposed to take it out, apparently. Yeah. I took the garbage out. Somebody asked. Nowhere in this conversation do we see that Martha and Mary had a conversation. I wonder if Martha thought, Mary, you should be helping me set the table, maybe cooking some food, because in the first century, you would probably serve food. See, instead, frustration built internally in Martha, and it exploded. Look again at verse 40, chapter 10, Luke chapter 10, verse 40. Martha said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Martha is asking God, God, why don't you do something to straighten out Mary? Truth is, many of us have prayed that prayer. God, why don't you straighten them out? Why don't you straighten her out? Why don't you straighten him out? Martha here obviously had some expectations in her life. Here's some truths that I think would help us as we think about this in our own lives. Would you agree with me that assumptions can damage relationships? That's why communication is so important, to have conversations, to talk, because expectations can be there and assumptions can break relationships. Now, if you're here today and you're a follower of Jesus, let me tell you what the Bible would tell us in terms of relationships and the lack of communication. You ready for this? Here's what the Bible would tell us. You, if you're a follower of Jesus, we are to be people who give the benefit of the doubt. That should be our beginning position, that we give people the benefit of the doubt. That means that we choose to trust people intensely in their intentions, even if we don't really understand them, and yet to have conversation with them, because relationships will struggle when there's expectations that replace communication. See, resentment grows where communication dies. I think you'd agree with that. People cannot meet expectations that they do not understand or know. Case in point was our garbage can. See, expecting others to just know, or keeping score, or comparing contributions will destroy a relationship, because there's expectations there that haven't been met or haven't been talked about. And I think you'd also agree with me that using guilt instead of honest conversations can be devastating. Devastating. We see that right here with Martha and Mary. Martha wanted Jesus to straighten Mary out. I don't hear any conversation in the story here, as Luke would have given us all kinds of details, because he does that really, really well. There's no details here about the fact that Martha and Mary had any conversation about, hey, I'm going to cook the meal, you sit for a minute, then you clean up the dishes. It doesn't seem like that was there, and so there was broken expectations. Let me say it this way. Resentment is often unmet expectations that are left unsaid. What a great story for us to help us to understand that expectations are really something that we ought to be thinking about in our relationship. Well, there's another principle that emerges here in the story, and that's this. Relationships are unhealthy when your value depends on performance. When your value is dependent on what you do, that brings very unhealthy environments in any relationship. See, Martha's identity, if you read the story, you can see it. Her identity became attached to what she was doing. She thought she was better than Mary because she was doing more work for God in the moment. Relationships will always weaken when love feels earned instead of received. It will always weaken a relationship. See, Martha believed that her value came from more productivity. Mary understood the relationship begins with presence. It's amazing. If I tell you anything at all today that hopefully you'll hear in terms of a relationship with God, it's this. God loves you because of who you are more than what you'll ever do for him. Leave with that today. God loves you more for who you are than what you can ever do for him. Now, does he ask us to do things? Yes. Does he want us to be involved? Yes. Does he want us to help the world around us? Yes. But that's not where we find our value. Our value is found in his love for us, which then motivates us to do the right things. That's a big difference when you look at it that way. Look at verse 41 again. Here's what Jesus says to her. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about so many things, but one thing is necessary. What's the one thing? I'll show you in a second. Notice that Martha's name is mentioned twice. It's not because Martha didn't hear him. It's not because Jesus is upset at Martha. In fact, when you look through scripture, oftentimes Jesus will use somebody's name twice. And here's why. In the original language, here's what that means for us. Study it for yourself. When Jesus says, Martha, Martha, it actually is reflecting the fact that they had a very close relationship. Martha, Martha, I care about you. Listen carefully. There's a close relationship that was there. The second reason why Jesus used her name twice is to signal that something important is going to be said. Martha, Martha, listen carefully. And then Jesus says to her, you're so anxious about many things, but there's one thing you need to think about. And then he tells her what that is. See, the reason why Jesus calls Martha twice is to refocus her life in the relationship with her sister and in his relationship with her. Notice that, horizontal and vertical. Martha, Martha. My prayer, as I have read this story many times over the last couple of weeks, thinking about this Sunday on Mother's Day, is that I'm hoping that in all of our campuses, or even those of you that are online, that right now, even in this service, right now, that as you think about your relationships, you would hear God call your name twice. Not because he's mad, but because he loves you, and because he wants to refocus, because your relationships matter, and every day matters with your relationships. It's not just Mother's Day. This is a day to celebrate relationships in general, that you can leave here today and maybe have a game plan for today and maybe this next week about thinking about your life as I think about my life in relationship to the fact that we are much more unhealthy if we're trying to earn somebody else's love. Our value doesn't come from that, and Jesus wants to make sure that that's very clear. See, people long to be valued beyond what they produce. Is that true of you? I'm sure it is. That we all are here longing to be valued way beyond what we can produce. See, performance-driven relationships will always create anxiety. It will always create exhaustion. If I stood up here today and said, you just need to do more for God and get on the treadmill and run harder and harder for God, I will create exhaustion and anxiety for you, and many people will just give up. That's not what God asks. God asks for us to be valued by his love. And he was trying to communicate to Martha, Martha, I want you to find value in your love for Mary and Mary's love for you and my love for you, Mary, in the situation. See, healthy relationships say, listen carefully, healthy relationships will say, you matter even when you're not doing anything for me. Amen. Healthy relationships say, you are loved beyond your usefulness to me. Wow. Let me say it this way. See, relationships will suffer when love is seen as something to earn rather than something to be freely given. I want you to note here in the story, and maybe you could even write it in the notes in the sidebar of your Bibles if you have a paper copy, Jesus was not condemning Martha for serving. He wasn't doing that. I mean, it makes sense if you have people at your house that you have to cook a meal, you have to prepare things, you have to clean up a little bit, you have to take the garbage out. It makes sense. Jesus is not condemning Martha for that. He's correcting her misplaced priorities. Martha was doing things for Jesus. Mary was spending time with Jesus. Big difference. And the danger exists for all of us in our own relationships. Well, there's one more that just jumps to the surface here. And so let me give you principle number four, and then we'll pull this all together. And I'm going to leave you with a question here today. Principle number four in this story is this, that relationships strengthen when we prioritize presence over productivity. Whether it's a friend, a neighbor, a sibling, a child, a grandchild, your spouse, your relationship will strengthen if you prioritize presence over productivity. The strongest relationships are built on attentive presence. And you might be asking, well, what does present really mean? Let me give you two things. In fact, this may be the second best thing that I could share with you today. Here's what it means to be present in a relationship. It means to be physically present and emotionally available. Physically present and emotionally available. That when you think of all your relationships, including God, for you to be physically present with God and emotionally attentive. If you're married, to be physically present and emotionally available. Now, I realize that sometimes you can't be physically present. Like, for example, with my two grandsons. They live in Florida, and I wish they lived next door, but I don't have that luxury. And so my wife and I get on FaceTime, and we use the portal, and we use our phones a lot because we want to at least see their face, and we hope that just seeing them on video will be like our physical presence. But what we work really, really hard at, and we're still working on this, to be there and emotionally attentive to those little boys because they care about things that most of us really don't care about, and yet to be there and to care about the things that they care about, to be present with them. Mary chose listening over rushing. Connection over performance. Presence over pressure. Look at verse 41, 42. Jesus said this to her, Mary, you have chosen the good portion. What's the good portion? Presence. If you hear nothing else today, be reminded that presence is the game changer in relationships. Now, let me give you some practical applications that might help you. Here's just a couple of thoughts that maybe if you're struggling with this, that you could just sort of jot these down and think this through in your small groups. You could talk about them in your families. You could talk about them. Here's some practical ways to be present in a relationship. Number one, listen fully. Listen completely. Don't just listen for the facts and the details. Listen fully. I think we all need to work on that. Or maybe it's just me. Secondly, I'd say we need to slow down in conversations. But slow down in conversations, because I think the slowing down can create great and deep relationships, which I think God wants us to have, because there's two things that will last forever, God's word and people. Thirdly, we need to create margin for meaningful connection. Somehow create margin for the relationships that God has given you in your life. And then fourthly, make people feel seen and heard. You can tell when they are. Make them feel seen and heard. I was meeting with a couple one time, and they're long gone from town, so I can tell you the story. I was meeting with them, and the husband was there. The wife didn't come, and he was saying that they were really struggling as a couple. It seemed like their relationship had drifted, and so I said, well, tell me a little bit about what's going on. And so he said, well, you know, I love my wife, and I really want our relationship to work. I said, great, I think that's awesome. And he said, but I also love bowling. And I said, well, tell me about bowling. Well, apparently he's had, and I forget the number, but he's had an ungodly amount of 300 score games. You know what I'm talking about? And I don't know much about bowling because in high school, my very first date was with a girl who beat me by 150 points in bowling. I've never bowled since. It's just like, I'm not doing that. I'm not, you know. So he was describing bowling and so forth. So I asked him, I said, do you bowl a lot? Because, I mean, I don't know how do you do 300 games? And he goes, oh, I bowl a lot. In fact, he says, I'm in a league 4 nights a week. Can you see the problem? So all I did is sort of hold up a mirror and say, you probably shouldn't be bowling 4 times a week, and that's a problem. And so he was trying to realize that. Let me say it this way. One of the clearest ways to love people is to give them your presence, physical presence and emotional attentiveness. This story is amazing because it's about two sisters, and so it's not just about Martha and Jesus. It's about Martha and Mary. There were obviously some expectations that were broken there. They obviously had not had conversations about this, and then Martha was wanting to be there with Jesus but wanted to, you know, impress him, and Mary was there with Jesus and seemingly was maybe giving up some responsibilities. Who knows? But this is a story of two sisters and one Savior. And in the story, if you read it, you can see that the way Jesus teaches us, catch this, the way Jesus teaches us to love others is also how he invites us to relate to him. All of the very lessons and things that have risen to the surface, these principles about relationships, really helps us even in terms of our relationship with God. I mean, Jesus himself to his disciples said this, abide in me and I in you. He says, whoever abides in me and I in them will bear much fruit because apart from me, you can do, anybody know? Nothing. Jesus was asked by some scholars to take all of the Old Testament laws. There were 613 of them in the Old Testament. And he was asked, can you narrow them down? What is the most important thing of these 613? Jesus narrows them down to two commands. And this is what he says, Matthew 22. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first command. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So the principles that we're talking about here about Martha and Mary are valid for you and I in our relationship with God. Let me show you. See, in our relationship with God, let's stay aware of distractions because distractions will destroy our relationship with God. See, we need to stay aware of expectations. There are a lot of expectations that we often place on God rather than going to him and saying, God, I don't understand this, but I will trust you and help me bring comfort and guidance and peace and your grace. And a lot of times there's just expectations. Let's stay aware of value determined by performance. Let me say it again. Jesus loves you for who you are more than what you can do for him. So be careful. Let's stay away from performance-driven love. Fourthly, let's stay aware, so that we can prioritize presence, that we can be physically present and emotionally attentive to God. I'll end with a question. How can you be more fully present with Jesus and the people that you love? That'd be a great start right there, because every day matters in our relationships. Would you agree, church? They do. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I thank you that we can have these honest conversations, and I thank you for placing a story in your word that is so human. Everything that we've been talking about, Father, is right there in the story, and it's amazing. It's true of my life. It's true of our lives. Lord, the reality of reminding ourselves that we're going to spend a lot of time with each other in eternity. And Lord, help us in our relationships to be available so that we can grow stronger and deeper in love, that we can be stronger and deeper in our love for you, that we might live differently than the world around us. Thank you for worship, for the opportunity to be with you. Father, I pray that as we leave here today, that we would be overwhelmed with the presence of God in our lives. Help us to desire for our presence to be equally known to you, therefore, to the people in our lives that we love. We thank you in Jesus' name, and the church said, amen. Amen.